All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network, your home for hockey talk covering every team in the NHL. New episodes every Monday. Download at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
And welcome back to the Dome.
We've got four games to cover.
Games are coming fast and furious now, eh?
Thank God, that's what I want.
What was it? It was like a game a week. It was painful.
It was like a game a fucking month for a while there.
Well, it felt like a week without hockey feels like a month. It's a weird phenomenon.
Oh, when you're a hockey fan, you bookend your... You count your days in terms of hockey games. So,
yeah, you need like at least one or two wins a week just to stay sane. Hey, And then when you go through a dry spell and a losing streak, man, those are painful. I don't know how it's up in Edmonton right now. I mean, look, we're going through a bit of a slide or a skip. I don't even know what we're going through.
I don't know. It's a shit sandwich we got to deal with tonight, but
that's what it is, a shit sandwich.
Did Edmonton win tonight? Yeah, oh, they're in a shootout right now.
Okay, so that's back-to-back one-point games at least. They're starting to turn it around, but fuck, man, they 7 in a row.
Well, they, you know what, like, for as shitty as they have been, they're still, if they get a point tonight, they're only 3 points back of us in the same amount of games played, so.
Oh, no, they're right there.
They're right there.
The Ducks keep on rolling. They're... They had a 6-point lead now, even though they have like 8 games in hand. But fuck, we better start winning some games.
Yeah, you have to win games. That's the thing, right? Like points percentage, points per schminage. You got to win these games for it to mean anything.
You picked an interesting phrase to do the schminage on. Yeah, that was the most tricky schminage I've ever heard in my life.
Did a good job. Yeah. Maybe I should start asking questions post game like all the other idiots.
Daryl, Mangiapane, he comes from, you know, Canada and, you know, Ontario. And it's like 20 minutes later. What's the question? And then Daryl's just kind of like,
Christ.
To confirm, did I think he had a good game? Yes, I think he had a good game. Next. So regardless of the shit sandwich and a bit of a yo-yo happening here, but I don't know. I mean, was it on the last podcast where I'm like, what do you make of this? Because we stomp Florida right after going through that terrible road trip. And you're just like, okay, well, we're still trying to fumbling and bumbling and figuring it out. But I think the common denominator throughout the entire season will be this team is what we expected them to be. Fighting for a playoff spot.
Yeah, it's like we've said 10 million times, like they're a good 5-on-5 team who's going to struggle to score. And when they can't score, they won't win.
But right now, it's just like you either your over-under is either 2.5, you can't hit the 2.5 mark, or it's 5.5. Like, it's kind of weird how it's like all or nothing right now.
Well, the two games where it was just like, holy, like, I don't know. I guess we'll talk about them individually, but kind of the takeaway is like, hey, Johnny Gaudreau, Matthew Tkachuk are on another planet. When they're not on another planet, this team is going to have a hard time scoring goals.
Now, I would say it's the exact same case as it is in Edmonton, but it's not quite.
It's not quite to the extreme.
Well, they're more extreme, but then they have no defense.
Yeah.
At the same time.
As well, yeah.
So they literally can't even take a night off. Like, they have to score 5-6 points a game.
Yeah. We're like a slightly better version of the Oilers.
We're a slightly more rounded, better defensive version of the Oilers.
Yeah.
Not as good offensively. So who's better? I don't even know. With the current goaltending, I'd say we're slightly better. But we can't seem to beat them. So.
Well, we can't fucking beat them. And I mean, that's what was so frustrating about Saturday night. It's like, okay, I know the Flames just like, okay, I can deal with losses if they have bounce back performances. And holy shit, did they ever have two bounce back performances? But goddamn, it'd be nice to see them win like a big game. Have they won like a big game this year? No like, shit, when's the last time they beat Edmonton? Fuck.
I'm sure when they were rolling, they won. I don't know. Did they? When they were rolling, they were just winning every game.
I don't think they've beat the Oilers. They haven't beat the Oilers. They lost two games to the Oilers this year, though.
You come out of the tailspin, lose four straight, Florida, Tampa, Carolina, then Ottawa. Then you curb stomp Florida at home, and everybody goes, okay, well, wait a minute. Then you get 3 days of practice time. Edmonton's what? Lost seven straight. There's they got like Cassian's out from
slump COVID. Busters.
Cassian's out. Koskinen can't stop a fucking beach ball. Nugent Hopkins is out. Who else was out? There's another Nurse.
I didn't see Hyman didn't play, did he?
Hyman, that's who it was. Hyman was out. Wasn't Nurse just coming off it? Like, these guys are battered and bruised and have zero confidence with the world's worst goal. Well, the league's worst goaltending, and you still can't win.
And it's funny, again, the recurring theme of hope. Oh, man, did the Flames had so many chances. They made Koskinen look like he was fucking great.
They made Koskinen look like he was better than Markstrom, and he was that night.
And he definitely was, which was also sad. But, I mean, that's a frustrating loss for me. Oh, I think for everybody, because, like, for fuck's sake, could you beat the Oilers?
If you can't beat them when they're down and out, battered and bruised, missing guys with the league's worst goaltending, when are you ever going to beat them? Connor McDavid didn't even have to fucking win the game for them this time.
Dude, he just jacked shit, and they still couldn't find a way to get one past the world's worst goalie and the world's worst defense.
In the league.
And, I mean, then you have to sit there and listen to the friggin' circle jerk all night, which makes it even worse. Like, did they even talk about the Flames?
I don't know, man. Like, this is the nice thing. I've been watching some games with family and having a glass or two of wine. That's and it, I just don't hear as much BS. I just focus in on oh man, that last the last two games before tonight, 7-1 win followed by the 6-0 victory. So my question before we start analyzing this is why the extremes? You score one goal tonight, you can't manufacture anything. Backlund misses, breakaway. He had the open net.
Missed Backlund it. Missed?
He dekes the guy out on a breakaway. All he has to do is chip it in backhand. Fans on it. And then later in the game, he's in alone behind the goal. He has a wide open net. Hits the post. And you said it. Listen, you said it absolutely perfectly. Michael, what'd you say? He's scoring goals.
I said Michael Backlund's scoring goals, and we're still his absolute dog shit finishing ability is still on full display.
Unbelievable.
Like, how'd you like that breakaway one where he flubs it? Like, oh man, Backlund.
I'll tell you, I didn't like it.
If he scores that, we probably win that game.
Right? Tell you right now, I didn't like that. Yeah, probably. The breakaway, you go to tie it up, right?
Yeah.
It was a crucial moment in the game.
So it's like, even when he has a great game, he still fucking pissed me off.
All right. Let's should we keep it chronological here? Let's go to the Oilers game. Give us the game stats. And I mean, thank God for game stats, right? Because how else would you actually get a true gauge of what's happening? It'd be just a fucking emotional roller coaster mess. I mean, this podcast kind of already is that, but at least we have the underlyings to help
us. Well, that game wasn't a roller coaster on fucking mess. It's like they go up 2-0. You're like feeling great. Here we go.
You're feeling like we're gonna pump these losers. That's how I was feeling at 2-0.
Because like, if there's one thing the Flames are good at, it's winning when they have a lead because they can't do the opposite. So I was feeling great. And then the intermission's all about, oh, Koskinen sucks. Oh, man, does he suck? He's terrible. He sucks. Markstrom's great. He sucks. And then they lose. They blow it. And I mean, they didn't even play bad, but.
Well, you knew. They get their first little power play.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, well, here's what I'm thinking. The power play hasn't been that great. Let's just kill this off. You got to get out of your fucking end. That's pretty key to killing off a power play. And then Bouchard goes back-to-back fucking goals. Meanwhile, you have Rasmus Anderson on the extreme contrast on the other end. My biggest thing is we've been talking about this a lot. And look, not much to complain about when we're blowing teams out 7-1, 6-0. But when you look at these losses, you look at the power play, you're just like, holy fuck, man. You have Rasmus Anderson. And look, we even had a 5-on-3 against Columbus last night. And you're just like, this is the least dangerous 5-on-3 I think I've ever seen, save for previous.
Dude, there could have been, they could have been a 5-on-0. If they were pylons and they were doing a drill and it was 5-on-0, they still wouldn't have scored.
No, still wouldn't have. My question to Twitter was, why is it the guy with one fucking goal is the trigger man on a 5-on-3? The guy that has one fucking goal on the season and can't even do a fucking bump back pass on the breakout. He's the trigger man on the 5-on-3? What the fuck? You have Johnny Gaudreau, he's playing lights out. Got Matthew Tkachuk playing lights out. Why aren't these guys going cross ice to each other? Like, I do not understand. The most dangerous power plays in the league, they do the cross ice, cross crease. And then they have some sort of one-time option. Do it up to the fucking
you look at the Oilers with one goal. You look at the Oilers setup, right? So you got McDavid on the left half wall. You got Drysdale on the other, and then Bouchard at the top. Like, we have those elements, but okay. Well, McDavid can go to Drysdale. McDavid can be a threat to shoot, but having a guy back there, Bouchard, they can go to each other, but having a guy to dish to back there who can shoot it and score makes all the difference.
Well, and a little bit of fucking offensive prowess. Here's the difference that I've noticed. If you look at Bouchard's goal, where does he score them from? The top of the circles.
Yeah, he's not pinned to the blue line. Like, the highest you can possibly – we've talked about this a lot. Like, Anderson seems to think he has to be so pinned to that blue line. Like, he's always so high. It's ridiculous.
And he's always shooting off his back foot.
Oh, like, all the time. He's never shooting from an advantageous position, ever.
No. Let me ask you this. Have you ever seen the hardest shot competition? Does anybody ever skate backwards and then take a slap shot on their back foot?
Well, that was...
No. You have guys coming down, bearing on top of the puck, and then deciding it's going to go through people and they're putting it where they want to. Like, Bouchard is shooting not only from the top of circles, his momentum's coming through the puck forward. It's not the reverse. We're always shooting off our back feet. We're getting nothing on these shots.
Yeah, the power play needs to be fixed, because even tonight, like, your power, the special teams are losing you games because you're winning 5-on-5 every single night.
I mean, the special teams were great in the two wins. They helped you win the games. So
they score a power play goal against Columbus, though? I don't think they did.
Well, you probably got the game stats somewhere.
Yeah, no, they didn't. No power. All goals were 5-on-5 last
shit, eh?
The Blue Jackets. Right? Like, fuck, dude. Like, if they could figure out their power play, they'd be rolling. They'd be rosy.
Hanifin actually ties the Oilers game up with a shot that's high. It's a seeing eye shot. It's like, that's a good shot. But that is not a good shot on the power play when you're trying to move. You're kind of expose the weaknesses of the penalty killers. Like, fuck.
Yeah. I don't know what to do on the power play anymore other than, you know,
well,
set it up properly.
We do. I mean, I would just like them to fucking try it. Study the Boston Bruins power play. You tell me you don't have a similar output of, you know, personnel. I guess you don't have somebody that can score the clip that Pasternak scores.
You don't have anybody with the big shot, but you don't really even need a big shot on the power play anymore. You just need somebody who can snipe it, and Lindholm can snipe.
I mean, Johnny can dish it better than Marchand.
Oh, 100%. Johnny should be the most dangerous power play distributor in the league, and he probably would be if they had any proper setup.
It's pissing me off, and it's the point usage. Like, I don't understand that. Why does everything have to fall through Rasmus Anderson?
Because, like, that. Yeah, like, the Flames dominated 5-on-5 against the Oilers. Shot attempts 61-45, scoring chances 26-17, high danger chances at 5-on-5, 13 for Calgary, 5 for Edmonton.
Jeez, man.
Edmonton wins because they can score on the power play.
Was the Perlini goal, that was a duffer, wasn't it?
That wasn't a very good goal. Markstrom
didn't play well. Does he have a thing where he doesn't play well against Edmonton?
Well, you know what? Like, okay, there's the pet fan theory is that he is not a big game goalie. And okay. I kind of agree with that a little bit. Like, has there been in these close games, because, okay, he's got these shutouts, but it's like over the last little while, it's like he hasn't made the big save in the close games.
Well, the team has always stunk in close games, but I'm not sure where I sit with that yet.
Yeah, I am hesitant to believe that kind of thing, but I don't know. Like, man, if he could have made one of the saves that Koskinen made, whether or not he fluked out and used up all his year's luck in that one game, he'd probably win that game. Like, he probably wants, what, two of those goals back? Perlini, for sure. You got to stop one of the Bouchard shots. So, but that fucking game-winning goal is a joke.
Well, Draisaitl absolutely blows around Tanev. That was kind of uncharacteristic. I get it. Draisaitl is good. He's playing well. Is that the one you're talking about?
I'm talking about Puljujarvi horse face interfering with Shillington.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, there was that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was absolute interference. Look at the replay.
It was unbelievable. Dude, like, full-on dropped his shoulder, and, like, I don't know how – that's not incidental.
Dude, horse face, you know what that is?
What?
That's an insult to horses.
It is. He looks like some sort of fucking, like, Men in Black. Like, he should pull his skin off, and he's an alien underneath, like – Jesus.
He looks like a Man in Black character where he opens his mouth, it keeps on opening and opening, and then a body comes out of the mouth. Exactly. Another body comes out of the mouth. Right?
Seriously. Or he's kind of like that weird kid in, like, grade school who's, like, always licking his lips and, like, looks like, it's like, what is wrong with you?
And every time you look over, he's looking at you.
Yeah, and he's just like got boogers in his nose and, like, eats his boogers and shit. That's Puljujarvi.
Who's the most annoying Oiler to score on? Like, when the Oilers score on the Flames when you're playing them, what player annoys you the most?
I think it's still McDavid. I don't know. Draisaitl's such a bitch.
Yeah, I agree. It's McDavid number one.
Yeah, but it's still McDavid. Stupid, it's just so annoying.
Stupid face.
Because then you got to hear about it, like, for fucking 2 weeks.
But Puljujarvi's up there, man. Top three, right?
Yeah.
All right. So what was the special teams?
The Oilers go, what, 2-for-3? And the Flames go 0-for-3?
Oh, I thought you had it on there. I'll pull it up just to confirm.
I think I'm right. I think it's 2 for 3. And
well, you usually put that in your thing. Yeah, no, Flames went 1 for 2.
What? Who got the power? Oh, yeah, the Hanifin goal was a power play.
No, it was Lucic, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was actually a sweet tip.
So, okay, yeah. So Flames go 1 for 2. Or they just go 2 for 3. But you dominate them 5-on-5.
Yeah, absolutely dominate them.
What was the expected goal percentage?
Flames win the expected goal 63.5 to the Oilers 36.5. So they had the puck all night. They were generating all kinds of chances. But that's what happens, you know, when you have a lack of scoring talent and you can't score on the power play. Because that's the through line through all four of these last games. And I mean, even extending back further, is that they're still playing good 5-on-5 hockey. And every night we look at the stats, I was like, man, the Flames had the puck all night and, you know, played really well. And they won the deserved win a meter and they still lost. Or they won 2, lost 2. So
you almost have better luck winning a fucking lottery ticket than the fourth line chipping in.
Jesus Christ, dude. So Brett Ritchie still has 0 points.
Again, like we say this a lot, but for other players, but this is another case. Is it's like, what do you do? What do you do?
Like, I'm genuinely curious what he does for this hockey team.
Genuinely curious if you're managing this club, either coaching or a general manager, what value does Brett Ritchie bring? Is because he's tough? Because I haven't seen him fucking act tough since he knocked out fucking Jujhar Khaara. Have you? Or ever since he got punched out?
Ever since he got nailed? No. Like, I mean, you look at it night after night. You look at the Shaw contributions. Like, he's just absent. Like, I swear to God, the other night against St. Louis, I don't know how he even managed this, but he was the only player below 50% expected goals for on the Flames. I don't know how he managed to pull that one off.
No, seriously. A game where
the Blues had like 10 shots through like 56 minutes, but he did. And I mean, against the Oilers, right? Like you look at, you know, pretty much everybody got their chances. Like Coleman was buzzing, you know, Johnny and Kachuk were buzzing, Hanifin shooting a lot, Anderson blasting them all the time, Lucic. Like Zadorov has 3 shots at 5-on-5, and Ritchie has like 1 shot attempt. Like, what is that? Like, what is he doing for you? Like, why do you need Brett Ritchie playing 7 minutes a night for you? Generating 0 offense, not hitting anybody.
Well, couldn't you bring in, how hard would it be to replace him with a replacement level player?
He's below replacement, so I'd say pretty easy.
I mean, I've been liking Rzeczka the little bit we've seen out of him, except for tonight, he fucking...
Fourth line was a fucking shit show tonight.
His first period is fine, but fuck, did he fall off after that.
Wow. Daryl probably already has him, like, on a bus to Stockton. He's like, no, you don't even get a flight. You have to be on a bus.
And make him walk, eh? I guess from St. Louis, it might be a little far, but...
Anyways, that Oilers game is really frustrating. I know a lot of people are really pissed after that. I was so pissed. It's just like, the thing that I'm pissed again tonight, it's just like, it's so fucking clear that like, if this team had 1 or 2 more goal scorers, they'd be so good. It's that simple.
Before we move on from Edmonton, it's a done deal. They get Evander Kane on a league minimum deal.
No, it's like $2 million, isn't it?
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. What is the contract, you know, for sure?
I think it's 1 year, $2 million. I'm going to pull it up right now. And I think there's like a $600,000 bonus on it. What's the bonus for good behavior or something? It's like you don't get arrested.
If you wear your mask. Right?
Fuck. He's probably going to wear his mask on the ice. That's part of the deal.
And if you're not wearing your mask, you got to wear one during the game. So,
yeah. So it's like, his total salary, it's mostly bonuses. Actually, his base salary is like $750K.
Okay. So that's what I was seeing. Okay.
Yeah. And then the signing bonus is $625K.
It's a 2-year deal.
It's a 1-year deal just for this year. And a no move clause.
All right. My biggest question, I mean, I know there's a lot of controversy around this, but my biggest question, I'm just going to keep it to hockey. Are the Oilers, Edmonton Oilers, in your opinion, your prediction, are they going to be better or worse with Evander Kane?
Well, I think they could only, I don't think they could get any worse is the thing.
It's kind of funny though, because, and I, and maybe this is two different schools of thought when it comes to hockey, the old and the, is the new school like the opposite of old though? It's just kind of like you're missing the evolution if you're still stuck in the old school. If you're looking at Kenny Holland, I mean, in the offseason, we're just Flames fans and NHL fans are just pissing themselves laughing at the moves he's making. Because you're like, that defense is horrendous. And you have the league's worst goaltending. And is that not what's sinking this ship? I mean, if you look at the highlights, and sure, Sekos going to gets lit up again. But you look at the defensive zone coverage on these goals, you're just like, holy shit. Dude, that guy should have never – first goal tonight, it's like not Peter Forsberg, but Philippe Forsberg. He snipes one from the top of the circles, and I mean, he's a bit far out, but this guy's all alone. He do five Mississippis before he gets that shot off. So it's kind of funny that Holland's MO is just like more offense, more offense, more offense.
Yeah, like why doesn't he sign? Why doesn't he get a D man? Like, oh man,
or goalie man.
And that's what's weird. Like you're saying, right? Like, isn't he supposed to be old school? And he's like, nah. I guess his acquisition of Duncan Keith was kind of like what he thought would be a good defense move.
Well, that might the whole thing of old school is he's not, there's zero analytics going into any of his decision making.
Like, is there even any like thought about like not even analytics? Like, is there any analytical thinking at all? Is there any critical thinking? Like, I forgot they even had Cody Ceci. Like, holy shit. Like, that's a terrible D. So, I don't know. Maybe Kane helps them win 6-3 instead of 5-3 when they win. I don't know.
Helps them lose 5-4 instead of 5-3.
I mean, listen, like, I am all for chaos in Edmonton. So, I hope Kane is a wreck and he pisses Connor McDavid off and there's just some serious drama. I hope it's a total nightmare for everybody.
All right, let's move on. So now let's go to St. Louis, the 7-1 shellacking.
Oof.
This was weird, hey, because it was Falk, right? Making fun of Canada before he came in or some shit. He was trashing Canada, and like, I get it. I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with him, but he's talking shit about, oh, yeah, I can't get the fuck in and out of this place. Go back to the United States where there's more sanity, it would seem. And I don't know. Did that fuel the guys at all? Or was the whole team just kind of that mindset? Let's just get in out of here. Let's make this quick. Like, they got fucking
It sure seemed like it. Like, honestly, like, that's the only explanation. Because, like, how – I don't know how the – like, okay, the Flames played an amazing game. But, like, that's the St. Louis Blues, right? Like, they had – the Flames had, like, 50 shots. They had, like, 40 shots before St. Louis had, like, 12.
They absolutely embarrassed them, dude.
So there was something weird going on. Like, they obviously were tapped out or, I mean, yeah. Look, credit to the Flames. But, I mean, geez, the St. Louis Blues had to be seriously, like, checked out for that kind of shit to happen. Like, Craig Berube is their coach. He probably would have beat them shitless.
Oh, dude, did you see his face, man? Yeah. He was fucking – looked like he was about to – explode. Like, if that was Bruce Boudreau, man, he would have been redder than a tomato. Like, he looked like his head was going to pop, dude.
So, I mean, I think something like that, back-to-back, something had to play a factor. Because that was just, like, have you seen a beatdown like that before? Like, when's the last time the Flames beat a team that thoroughly that you remember? It's probably in 18-19. I don't even remember, like, a specific game where I was like, holy shit, did they ever just get there? Did they ever feed that other team their lunch?
Yeah, it would be typically, like, the Clay Coyotes or something. They were just... It's when they sucked or some other struggling team. But the St. Louis Blues?
Yeah, not the Blues.
Somebody said they were coming off a road trip. I'll look. But give us the game stats on this one. Do we just need to know or what?
Dude, like when they score, it's just so much fun. Flames have 48 shots, the Blues 21. Hey, the power play scored twice. That helped. 2 for 5 on the power play. Blues go 0 for 2. The Flames had 71 shot attempts at 5-on-5. St. Louis had 22.
71 shot attempts?
The Flames had 39 scoring chances at 5-on-5. The Blues had 10.
Dude, that was... Yeah, that was just
the Flames bizarre, had man. 18 high danger chances. St. Louis had 4. Expected goals for 82% to 18%. Like, dude.
All right, so here's the deal. It was a back-to-back. They played in Vancouver the night before. They played
Vancouver the night before, yeah.
But, like, that's a 3-game road trip with not very much travel. I wouldn't see them being that fucking tired.
They're obviously clocked out.
And just on a side
the building note, is the buildings are empty. It's a fucking drag, probably.
Yeah, it's got to be weird, eh, if you're going from... If you're in the Blues, because who's in their division? I guess the Jets are in their division too, right? Mm-hmm. So they got one Canadian team in their division. So they're mostly used to full crowds. Yeah, it's got to be John. At least Alberta's got 50% capacity. I mean, look at Ontario's got no one in the building.
Zegras, yeah.
Zegras scores the Michigan. And, dude, is that even the Michigan anymore? The guy didn't even fucking bend down.
It was
just like, it's
like a fucking Jedi trick, dude.
It's like, is it the Michigan? When you're completely standing up the whole time, like this is a whole new level, dude. And then he celebrates with the crowd after Austin Matthews was giving it to the Canadian crowd, eh? The lack thereof.
Atmosphere is great.
Atmosphere is, really pumped us up tonight. Just on a side note, man, because I'm pulling this up to the Blues schedule. I'm on the NHL app in the top news. You know what it is?
Not Zegras, probably.
James Neal signed to Springfield.
What?
James Neal assigned
to Springfield. Oh, man. He's going to have the poutiest Pouty McPouterson Pout Fest ever.
Why do I hate him so much?
God, you know what? Hateable. I don't even like. It is weird because, like, the hate should be funneled at dumbass Brad for signing him. But fuck, is he annoying? I think my hate, you know what? I didn't even hate James Neal until he pulled the shit when the whole stay off the tracks thing happened.
True.
And he was talking shit about Chucky. I think that's when my hate was like, yeah, fuck you.
Well, as soon as he becomes an Oiler, that helps too, eh?
And he's just such a loser.
Remember, he becomes an Oiler. He's just going off. He's got like leading the league for the first 3 weeks. He's got like 9 goals in 3 games or some shit.
And he had that 4-goal game, and Lucic is like crying and wanting to retire. Those were the days. Somebody tweeted today. I have to just throw this in there while I remember it. Was it Pike that tweeted it? Michael Backlund hasn't scored back-to-back goals. Like, tonight was the first night in like since February of like 2020. Games in back-to-back game goals in back-to-back games.
First time in his life, eh?
Jesus Christ, dude. That tells you everything you need to know about the Calgary Flames scoring woes.
So the Blues go on the board first. Zadorov with an absolute fucking snipe.
That was sick. Guy's got a cannon.
He's the best.
Other than tonight, we'll ignore tonight, and he was probably the best defenseman over the previous 3 games.
Well, I wasn't going to say best defenseman, but he's our best offensive.
Dude, I swear to God, he is honestly the best offense. Like, even the way he carries the puck is better than...
Yeah, he skates well with it.
Yeah, like, he has good instincts, surprisingly, for having, like, no offensive impact when you play at all.
He has offensive instincts. Why isn't he on the 5-on-3?
Dude, you'll never see him on the power play. Like, people would lose their minds. That's the thing that I don't get is, like, I get losing your mind over Gabranson sometimes, but I don't know how we became the Nikita Zadorov fan club ringleaders. Like, he's been like, did you see him against St. Louis? He looked like Bobby Orr. God, he was carrying the puck.
Dude, he did.
Sniping top corner. He's dancing. Like, fucking looked great.
Legit looked like Bobby Orr. Who wins in a foot race, him or Anderson?
Easily Zadorov. Like, dude, it's not even close.
All day long, it's Zadorov. Why isn't he on the PP?
You're telling me Johnny, if he Johnny lays one on a platter for him, he's not blasting that through the goalie's face?
I'd like to see that.
Yeah.
All right. Tanev gets on the board. This is all Johnny, though. I mean, hey, great job for Tanev to sneak in there. And but my God, Johnny was like,
he was on another planet.
He didn't need what? Okay. Usually he's got eyes in the back of his head. He was like on drugs with eyes in the back of his head.
He was like on DMT or some shit. And
he was like, yeah, he was like DMT when you see those psychedelic pictures where it's just eyeballs. That was Johnny Gaudreau. He had like 100 eyeballs.
Yeah.
100 of them.
It was wild.
Lindholm gets on the board, another primary from Johnny.
Well, and like you said this before, like this year, like these aren't even like primary assists.
Yeah.
These are like the guy doesn't even have to do anything. Like that Lindholm goal, dude, like that's the easiest goal he's ever scored in his life. And I mean, it's a good play by Lindholm, but same with Tanev. Like these are like, and he leads the league in primary assists. But again, they're not even like primary assists. They're like, he may as well have the goal attributed to him because it's like you couldn't miss that unless you're Brett Ritchie. It's just incredible.
I mean, you would usually compare it to like, oh, those are tap-in goals.
Yeah.
But they're not because he's not on the power play. These are like five. He's getting a shit ton of 5-on-5 primaries, man.
Like that Tanev goal. Well, dude, I think the Lindholm goal was my favorite goal this week because like he knows when to go and just he creates. Oh, man, he's just so fun to watch when he's going.
Monahan makes it 4-1 with a PPG. I can't remember the goal. Can you?
I'm trying to remember if he tipped it or if he shot it. No, this is actually a shot. He doesn't Chucky just feed him a nice pass and he buries it. That was a classic. Oh, no. Fuck. Holy shit.
Yeah, you're
this
right.
This was a classic Johnny Damani.
No. This is Chucky when Chucky does. I just watched it. Chucky catches it and puts it down real quick, finds Monty in the slot, and Monty just buries.
He scored 2 goals in this game?
No.
What the fuck am I thinking of? When's that goal he scored that sweet, like, breakaway little goal?
Maybe you're thinking of Columbus. The breakaway goal, that was a while ago, dude.
Was it? Oh, where fuck. Where you
keep the guy out?
Yeah, I'm way back.
Coleman gets on the board. Coleman gets on the board.
It's a great goal. That's what you need from Blake Coleman because he's not going to score with his sniping ability.
No, he gets a little greasy one. It goes to the net hard. Finishes off. Oh, dude, he outmuscled that guy.
Yeah, that you need awesome. More of that shit.
That was a great goal.
Yeah, that's why I don't know. Like, I feel like I always thought Backlund and Coleman to be like this great duo, but like, I don't know, man. Like, I think
no.
If you had somebody who could hit the fucking net and generate some rebounds and actually have a guy who can shoot the puck and hit the net, like that's where Coleman's. Good is, you know what, like after watching him for the last 30 games, like I thought his goal scoring ability was going to be like, yeah, he's a sniper, he can bury stuff, but it doesn't seem to be his skill set. He's a greaser and he's got to get those greasy goals. You need somebody to get the puck to the net for him.
Yeah, that makes sense, especially if you got Mangiapane, another greaser, right?
Yeah.
Rzeczka gets his first, or no, it's his second.
This is second setup, like, man.
That was a sweet goal, eh? Holy fuck.
That was so sweet.
Johnny, was it Johnny keeps it on the board? No, Rzeczka.
Johnny to Chucky to Rzeczka. Yeah, he made a good play on the boards, though, there.
I just watched it. It was so nice. Oh, boy. Yeah, those games are so much fun, dude. When it's just like goal after goal after goal.
That's what it was like the whole year that one year, but fuck that shit, right?
Yeah.
Didn't want to do that.
You saw what happened.
Johnny Gaudreau scores a goal, has 3 assists, 4 points, 4 shots, 8 shot attempts, 2 scoring chances. God knows how many, even in the Oilers game, like, I'm just like, he's on another planet this year. It's just like, he makes shit happen every single time he has the puck.
I don't know, man. He looks just as good as he ever has. But there's something kind of different, too. He's like
called that sweet contract.
He's doing it more poised than I've ever seen him do it before.
That's true. Yeah.
It's like he's like, making it look easy.
There was a play. Yeah, there's a play against the Oilers. I'll probably describe it terribly, but it's kind of a broken play. But he, like, barely beats a guy to the puck. Like, he just makes nothing something out of nothing. And he just like pulls it in. Like he shouldn't be able to make a play. And he just creates a scoring chance. Just like, it's unbelievable.
Johnny's been unbelievable. Chucky's also been unbelievable. Mangiapane already has 19 goals. These all three players, these are arguable. Obviously, the two are not arguable. They're your two best players, but arguably, you know, three. This is three of your top five players. Don't have contracts next season. How worried should we be? What is going to happen? I know the Athletic put an article out there. You read it. Tell us about that. What do you think is going to happen here?
I don't know, man. Like, because I think this kind of goes back. Like, remember when Tkachuk wouldn't sign? No, he wouldn't sign. But like the first time, he kind of held out back before the 2019 season. Like that was stressful, and I remember we weren't particularly pleased with the result.
No.
Like it was like, holy fuck, can we just get this over with type thing? But we weren't happy with the deal because we knew that this is what it was going to lead to. Like we wanted him locked up long term.
Yep.
Which I mean, that's hard to do, but I mean, it's a lot harder to do when you're capped out and can only give the guy $7 million as Brad Sheila being was and did. So we didn't really set himself up for success. So I don't know. I think the Tkachuk one to me is the biggest like hand wringer, because like you can get Mangiapane done, I think. And like, let's be honest, if you just give Johnny Gaudreau what he wants, I think he'll be inclined to stay. Like he's at an age where he's going to make more money on his next contract. But like you look at what the situation Tkachuk's in, where it's like, he set himself up to hit unrestricted free agency and like not even the prime of his, like the absolute pinnacle, and just like cash out wherever he wants. It's pretty incredible that he's been able to do this and gain like all the leverage. Like the Flames have, what leverage do the Flames have with Matthew Tkachuk right now? Like none, right?
Well, they made him their captain. Oh no, wait, they didn't.
No. Why would you do that?
No, that wouldn't make any fucking sense at all.
Because I mean, what I think is becoming like increasingly apparent is that you're probably going to be really hard pressed to sign Gaudreau and Tkachuk long term. You can probably sign one of them long term.
Yeah, but Brad Tree Living, he's so good at re-signing his own players. That's like so good at it. That and drafting, he's so good.
Because, that. Like, dude, like, people like, keep saying, like, oh, you can get Gaudreau at $8.5 million probably. Like, the dude is going to score 100 points this year. There's no way in hell you're getting him at $8.5 million. On a, like, I don't think so. And the cap isn't going up for a few years.
Well, you kind of need fans in the building and,
you know, money coming in and shit. So, like, I don't see any way. And I mean, again, like Tkachuk has all the negotiating power, right? So I don't think, do you see him signing like a 8-year deal right now?
What did Brady sign?
Brady did sign an 8-year. He signed a max deal.
Well, maybe he wants to outdo his brother. Look, we know Matthew likes it here, but you threw this out there today. I mean, and here's my other point is like, if you're Matthew Tkachuk, what is your number one priority? A guy like him, look, not all players are like this, where they're wired, where their number one priority is not necessarily winning a Stanley Cup. They're okay if they're making good money and they're, you know, playing competitive hockey and they're on a good team. Matthew Tkachuk needs to win a Stanley Cup. Now, if you're Matthew Tkachuk and you're looking at what's happening on this team, I don't know what's going to happen in the offseason. How do you make this team better? Does Brad even do anything to make this team better this season? Well, sounds like he's looking at Ben sign... fucking... He's looking at Ben fucking Sherratt right now?
Is that not the most Brad Shiving thing? Are you surprised that he's looking at more depth defensemen?
No, we're not surprised, but yet it still doesn't get any less frustrating.
It gets more frustrating.
Yes, it does. Because look at the comp.
It doesn't even get a little more frustrating. It's like fucking it's like a compounding frustration.
Well, because now you have this other issue with Chucky, right? It's just like, is he going to want to stay? Is my question.
And well, to me, again,
you threw this out there today. What if the mandates don't ever change here in the next till summertime? And let's say the states are opened wide up, but Canada's not. What effect is that going to have on free agency? Seriously.
Like, I think it's a valid concern because Frank Cervelli, heard him talking to the guys on 960, and they were talking about like JT Miller and a few guys who like could be traded at the deadline. And Frank Cervelli said, like, I think he was talking about like a valid concern, not even concern, but like a valid, like he was bringing this up as something that he thinks is probably pretty true. It's like, if given the choice, a lot of these guys, American or not, at the trade deadline, if they have control of where they go, they don't want to go to Canada right now.
Well, you can't do anything. You're not playing in front of fans.
Well, if you're JT Miller, imagine you're JT Miller. You're from the States, and Vancouver says, okay, we know that Toronto is not on your no trade list, but we have a deal in place with them, so we can send you to Toronto, or also St. Louis is interested. Like, you think he's gonna go to Toronto? Like, it's a no brainer for any, especially if you're American. Like, no chance.
Well, it does seem that way that the Americans have a different apparent opinion about this. I mean, look at Matthews, his comment. I mean, it's tongue in cheek, but at the same time, it's like, it's pretty apparent. He thinks it's ridiculous.
Well, I mean, Justin Falk says that. He's Canadian. No, he's American. So,
and then you have Zegras doing the salute to the crowd. It's kind of like, if it hurt me, and we're dealing with two of our top American players here, Matthew Tkachuk, Johnny Gaudreau. I don't know. I don't see how it doesn't play into their decision-making factor. If that is the case, where the United States has opened up relative to what we experience in Canada, come free agency or even trade deadline, as you're suggesting, I think it plays a big factor.
The biggest factor for Tkachuk is the timeline, right? Like, number one, he has all the leverage in the world because he's having a career year. He's this team's top player, if not second best player. He has himself set up where he has a qualifying offer that he can take. That's a $9 million qualifying offer. So factor into that the short-term future of this team, not knowing where that's at. Like, this seems to be heading to a one-year deal with Matthew Tkachuk, whether or not it's through arbitration or through him just accepting his qualifying offer, which walks him to UFA, which gives him everything he wants because he walks to UFA and can cash in and go wherever he wants. And he can see if this team is in a spot to, you know, be a winner the next year. Like, I think that's where this is. That's where this looks like it's heading.
So, again, we always do these two scenarios. What would you do to sign all three of these guys? How would you break it down? I think you have to buy out Sean Monahan at this point.
Well, if he'd taken care of this 2 years ago, this wouldn't be an issue, but whatever.
I mean, he is increasing his trade value, per se, but you're still going to have to retain salary if you don't want a shitty contract.
The good news is Andrew Mangiapane is slowing down.
Oh, shit.
Maybe that was the Brad was just like, yo, put Monge with Backlund for a while and make sure he plays a lot with Monahan and just cool this off a little bit here. I don't know. To me, I think the easiest one to get done is Monge. Well, I don't know, because the RFAs with Tkachuk and Monge, they're the tougher ones because of the fact that the cap has not, the influx of cash has not come yet, right? Like, I don't think you're going to be seeing a lot of these guys who are RFAs signing, like, big deals, given that the U.S. TV deal money hasn't kicked in, the cap hasn't gone up. Like, theoretically, there will be a lot more money on the table in the coming years. Maybe not if like the world ever gets back to normal. But if you're an RFA right now and you're of Tkachuk and Mangiapane's age, you probably want to wait this out and stick to short-term deals for now. So like on in theory, probably the easiest one to get done would be Gaudreau and just get him locked up and then work from there. I think ideally you'd want to get Tkachuk done first because like for me, like if you had to choose right now, you probably have to, if you were presented with identical 8-year deals, you probably have to sign Tkachuk to an 8-year deal over Gaudreau. Don't you just give an age and value over the next 8 years? I don't know.
Yeah, you're probably right, but.
But I think that's irrelevant because that's not going to happen. I think Johnny is the first guy you need to get taken care of.
Well, and for that reason, because I think you're right. If you sign Tkachuk first, then Johnny's going to probably want something close to what Tkachuk has.
Yeah, and also
going to pay more than you might have to.
Right? The easiest way out of this is to give Gaudreau whatever he wants, $9.5 million. A year per whatever, and then unfortunately get Tkachuk signed to his qualifying offer, and then maybe get Mangiapane on a 3-year deal or something.
And then
it's going to be dicey as fuck, and you got to dump Monahan or Backlund.
And can we buy out Lucic at the end of the season?
You can, but I don't think there's cap savings still.
Get one more season of Lucic.
Yeah.
Holy fuck, eh? Yeah, it is dicey.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, if you broke it down, if you left Monahan on the roster, I think that leaves you with, and I mean, conservative. Like, Haley was, I think her numbers on Gaudreau were conservative. Like, I don't know, maybe I'm off, but I feel like 8.5 isn't enough for Gaudreau, given his current, like, there's rumblings that Philly is like dying to get him now. And I mean, I wouldn't be surprised given the fact that they're having the shittiest season ever and their fans are pissed if they didn't like go balls to the wall and give, like, if Johnny Gaudreau got to unrestricted free agency, offer him like an insane contract. So I don't know. Like, I think Johnny Gaudreau will be making upwards of $9 million a year. So let's say in Haley's article, she pegged him at 8.5. I'll just bump that up to 9.5. Let's see you sign Tkachuk to his $9 million.
Hey, folks, we'll get back to the show in just a moment. Just got to fit in a word from our sponsor, DraftKings Sportsbook. Counting down to Super Bowl 56, new customers can get 56-1 odds on any team. Bet just $5 and get $280 in free bets if your team wins. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet or you're in Canada, you can still get in on the action with daily fantasy football contests. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the promo code THPN, as in the Hockey Podcast Network, and get 56-1 odds on any NFL team. Bet just $5 and win $280 in free bets if your team wins. Promo code is THPN for 56-1 odds at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. You gotta be 21 or older in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. There's a minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sports for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And somehow you can get Mangiapane locked up like maybe $5 million. That's what Haley has pegged here. That gives you like $8 million in change to re-sign Shillington and fill out fill out 7 other players, $8 million. Not great.
So given all this, now put on your Bradtree living. You've seen this guy, how he operates, and what do you think will happen?
Well, given that.
Give us your most probable fucking thing that Brad will do.
I think he gets all 3 of them done. But with the caveat that I feel like Tkachuk probably gets a short-term deal, like gets the 1-year deal, and that'll be a major fuck-up because then we'll lose him the next year. Because I just don't know if he has any other way out of this, unless Tkachuk is just like totally ready to jump on board with this team for the next 6 to 8 years.
Dude.
But I'm a little skeptical.
Well, I mean, hey, he was ready.
He was. You say, yo, Gio's gone. You're the captain. He was ready. He was ready 3 years ago.
3 years ago, he would have signed for fucking but 30 years, bro.
Dumb Dumb couldn't figure out how to dump Frolik and was fresh off his nice little James Neal signing and had no cap space. So I see it for a similar situation working out with Chuck this year where it's like we can't do anything else other than just get him for the short term. I hope I'm wrong. Like, it would be a colossal failure. I don't know how Brad Schilling has a job unless it's quite clear Johnny Gaudreau doesn't want to play here and walks in unrestricted free agency. Like, if Mangiapane, Gaudreau, and Tkachuk aren't on this team next year, like, how can you, if you're an owner of this team, how do you let that go with Brad Schilling? Like, that's a fuck-up of epic proportions, especially when you're supposedly in this window to win. And from all accounts, Gaudreau and Tkachuk are two of the best players in the league right now and probably going to finish top 10 in scoring, both of them.
Well, this is why we're saying, why didn't you get Eichel?
Yeah, like, now's the time.
Like, you're at the end. This is it.
This is it.
Like, you have – fuck, I don't know. It would have been easier to sign both Johnny and Chucky on the fucking all-star American – best American line of all time. That's all I got to say. Yeah. All right, before we move back to the games, I wanted to throw this at you because this is kind of funny. 18 former Flames are heading to Beijing.
So, okay, so how long? I guarantee you, what's the over-under that Brad signs at least one of the defensemen who is heading to the Olympics, who used to play for the Flames?
But here's my thing. 18 former Flames are heading to Beijing. Does that not sum up Brad Schilling right there? Let me read you some of these names. All right, you got for Canada, Corbin Knight. I don't even know who that is. Ben Street.
That's a Jay Feaster special right there, Corbin Knight.
Okay, and Ben Street, who's that?
He was a minor leaguer a long time ago.
Tyler Wartherspoon, I sure know who that is.
Can you play like one game?
Who do we pass up on? Was it Pass or Knock or something like that?
Dude, you're going to fucking kill yourself. We took Wartherspoon one pick before Nikita Kucherov. Yeah. That was 2011. Dude. Yeah.
Oh my God. Just, you know what? We just end the podcast forever on that. That'll be the last thing we ever say right
there. Jay Feaster, thinking too much, bud.
This is all you need to know if you're a Flames fan for the rest of your life. That's it. That sums it up. Okay, moving over to China. Spencer Fuzo.
I mean, he did get Johnny Gaudreau on that draft too, so.
Well, thank God. Imagine if he hadn't. Seriously. China. Spencer Fuzo is going to play for China. It's kind of cool. Roman Chervenka.
Oh, shit. You remember Chervenka?
Along with Michael Frolik, is going to play for Czechia.
I don't get it. Like, Frolik's not good enough to play in the NHL.
He's fucking better than our bottom six.
Exactly. You're telling me he's not better than Brett fucking Ritchie?
Oh, man. Come on. Not even close.
Dude, everybody on this Olympic list is better than Ritchie. Anyways.
Finland, Marcus Granlund. Granny
was like real. You know what? Didn't Tree Living? Who the fuck did he get for Granlund? Didn't he? Oh no, that was a useless trade. Shin Carrick for Granlund.
Oh yeah, that guy's really good. Hunter. He's probably hunting right now. Didn't
play an NHL game.
All right, your boy from Germany, Tobias Reeder.
Dude, you're telling me Reeder's not better than Richie?
Oh, dude, I would take Reeder over our fourth line all day. I'd
take Reeder over everybody in the bottom six right now.
Just sign Reeder for a leak. Seriously. Get it done.
I wouldn't even be surprised if he does, actually. So.
David Wolf, who's that?
No, it's the first. Oh, yeah, it is David Wolf. I remember him. The Wolf, I remember that. He was supposed to be really good, and he sucked.
I'm getting this off Flames Nation, by the way, so credit to them, but. David Wolf was the first player signed by True Living after he became the GM in 2014. That's your first signing, but there you go. He's probably real proud, eh?
Brad, you got the keys to this franchise. Here you go. Brad,
do us a favor.
Now let's implement your vision here. Who do you want? Who? Let's go after some guys.
David Wolf. Excuse me, who?
David Wolf. Yeah, no, seriously, he's an up and comer.
We got to build that depth.
He'll play right alongside Tyler Wotherspoon. Brad, do us a favor. Go to China to watch all your little homeboys and just don't come back. Literally, just don't come back.
Stay there. Why don't you go manage the Canadian Olympic team?
Is he married yet? He can go marry like a 5-foot Chinese lady and just have at her and never come back to Canada. They're going to have Alexander Yelishin from the Russian Olympic Committee. They got to keep changing the name because they cheat every year, hey? No, dude, we're not Team Russia. Okay, it's not. There's no cheat. There's now Russian Olympic Committee.
Dude, I like how
it's different.
Like Team Russia is like the IOC is a criminal organization, and it's like to break IOC rules is like being like the biggest dick in the mafia or something. Like that's fucked up.
Wouldn't it be weird though if legit? And hey. Growing up playing games, I never cheated because I tried that a few times. It didn't actually feel good when you won by cheating. So I learned at a young age. I know I got a cousin who, when we used to play games, he would cheat till he was 18. Probably still does.
What kind of games are you playing?
I don't know, dominoes and cards. You know, just things that people used to do before everybody spent 24 hours a day on fucking some sort of screen. Back in the day when life was a little simpler, hey, growing up in the 80s and 90s,
I'd lay on my floor in my Flames jersey and watch the same 3 Don Cherry VHSs for 2 years.
I'll tell you, if anybody's listening and they want to get a sense of how old I am, I guess I'm getting old now. That's how it works, but. My bro and I, we grew up playing hockey in the rec room downstairs, blasting. I guess it was a few versions after Jock Jams, but, in and around Jock Jam era. Blasting Jock Jam stuff with Don Cherry, Rock'em Sock'em on VHS playing.
Dude, kids don't understand how fucking awesome those Rock'em Sock'ems were.
Oh, fuck, those are epic.
The hit montages were that's how you used to get I lived in the country too. So even when you could have access to the internet, I didn't. So that's how you get your highlight packages for the year and watch guys score goals and shit is all those Don Cherry montages. You watch the goalie save montage, the best goals of the year. I still think the best goal I've ever seen that I always remember from the Don Cherry one is Jaromír Jágr on a breakaway.
And he gets six guys drag him down.
Yeah, and he gets dragged down, literally pulled down to his ass. Still shoots. Guy saves it. Puck bounces up in the air, and he smacks it in out of midair on his ass with 7 guys on him. It's incredible.
No, I got to go with the Lemieux goal where he dangles through 6 guys. Was it Hartford?
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Fuck, that was epic. Notice how it's always 6 guys?
Yeah.
I don't know where he comes with 6 guys from, but... Anyways, the Russian Olympic Committee, this is quite a tangent.
Yeah, sorry.
Any more you want to say about the Russians?
No, other than these are 2 guys who both played on our team last year. This is not even that old. Both of these players played for the Flames in the defense corps last season.
They're saying here on Flames Nation that Yelishin, the Flames technically still have retain his rights.
Great. He'll be our big free.
It's Yelishin acquisition. And Nesterov. Remember when Nesterov did one good thing? Last year he punched McDavid in the face. And
that was good.
That was the only thing. It was the only memory I have of Nesterov.
Dude, last season is just it's I had a terrible dream.
From Slovakia, you have Marek Hrivík. No clue who that is.
Yeah, I don't think he ever played a game for the Flames.
But here we go. Your 2 buddies from from Sweden. Oscar Fantenberg and and your all-time favorite Flame ever, Joakim Nordstrom.
Hey, he's good. He played in Boston. Hey, he's really good. You got. Why are you complaining about Nordstrom?
He's an exceptional penalty killer. Great penalty killer.
Fantenberg, our big. I didn't even know he was Swedish. Big deadline acquisition when we were first in the fucking league. We're Oscar Fantenberg away from winning the cup, guys.
All we need
is this guy from Sweden, Oscar Frantenberg. He's going to take us to the next level.
Third pairing guy from Vancouver to replace Shillington.
Oh, you need the depth. It's the depth that will help you win the championship. That's all it is. All right, Switzerland. Rito Berra. Come on. How old is this guy?
He's 35. That makes me feel old.
Isn't he like the go-to guy that everybody throws out there as the, you know, weird, obscure Calgary Flame that someone randomly remembers? Rito Berra.
Retro Biro. Who called? Was that Don Cherry? They called him that? I've got a lot of Don Cherry references. Somebody called him Retro Biro.
Rob, it must have been, eh? Rafael Diaz. Oh, shit. Here, Kenny Agostino from the United States.
That Jerome McGinley trade.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. It just keeps on. It's like when you watch those trade trees from what's his nuts?
Steve Dangle.
Steve Dangle, yeah. Oh, yeah, Kenny Agostino. Still going. Mm-hmm. And Nick Shore. There you go.
Oh, Nick Shore, our other big deadline acquisition. Wasn't that the year before? Great deadline.
Memorable.
Pretty sure that's the only forward Brad has ever traded for at the deadline. I don't even know who he is, or if I know he's not Drew Shore. And that's all I know about Drew or Nick Shore. See, I fucking don't even know his name.
There's your 18 former Flames heading to Beijing. Brad, go with him and don't come back. All right, Columbus, 6-1, absolute domination, smackdown. Do you even want to go through that? There's any point? It was an utter domination, folks. You know, you watched.
62 shots.
Franchise record.
That's crazy, man.
Gabranson got his first.
Dude, he was good in that. Like, he was great that game.
He was great.
He was great. Like, that goal was even sweet. A little toe drag, a walk the line, snipe.
Is this the one where Chucky had the toe drag?
Nice. Okay, I said the Lindholm goal is my favorite goal. That's my favorite goal in probably the past like 5 years.
Yeah, because even Gaudreau just fell.
Even the pass is just incredible. Oh. Johnny's on the back check, back pressures, like kind of just steals the puck. Draws like two guys toward him while he's skating backwards his own blue line. Fucking lasers a sauce pass up to Chucky at the other blue line. And then just walks in toe drag snipe. Holy cow, that was sweet.
Oh man, Chucky's got 20 now.
Hey, he's got as many as Sam Bennett.
Hey, they're just as good.
Yeah. Yeah, so like I think people are dreaming if they think Johnny Gaudreau's not getting over $9 million because he was crazy good in that game.
Why don't you Pawnee and Backlund find the back of the net? Why don't you Pawnee was a bit of a little snake bit in there for a bit.
He's still in kind of snake. And that's the thing with him, right? Like he's never been in. That's why it was so crazy at the beginning of the year. It was like, fuck, he's finally found a scoring touch because that was always the thing, right? It's like dude had like 15 scoring chances and has 10 goals. Or one goal, right? Finishing, he's never been a strong finisher. And I think we're starting to see that again. That shooting percentage has come back to earth. But holy shit, is it nice to see it. He's got to get off the Schneid.
Yeah. Markstrom, I thought, was great early on in that game.
Yeah.
Because they could have been tied up a couple times. Like he shut it down. Mrazlikin was playing good too, but. Marky shut it down. Let him walk away with it.
Merzlikins had like a 900 save percentage, but also let in 6 goals. That's how many shots the Flames had.
No way. That's nuts. All right. Anything else you want to include from the Columbus game? That was just fun to watch.
Oh, no, that's a fun. Like, yeah.
You didn't even have to hear the cannons go off.
That just takes you back to 2018, 2019 when it was like that every night. And it was just like, man, I like watching hockey. What a fun time.
That's one of those games, if you're in Columbus, fuck, is that a terrible game to go to, man?
Yeah, sometimes I feel bad for small market teams when they get shellacked. Like, I always imagine, like, hey, tonight is, like, somebody's first hockey game as a Blue Jackets fan. And
kid,
they just got, like, they're never going to go to another one. Ever.
One of my favorite things from this is... This, I think, was the pregame from St. Louis, but it's after this Columbus game. Backlund is starting to pitch in here. And Darryl goes, yeah, he's been better. He has to be better. We can't have guys playing 15 to 18 minutes a night with three or four goals, especially at the center position.
You can say that again.
He's a good player and he has to produce.
You can say that again.
Holy fuck. Hallelujah.
Wow. What a take, eh? Like, your players who are paid to score goals need to score goals.
Oh, I just thought I could just play, you know.
It's crazy how the coach can see that all year long. And the GM can't see that. And he's out trying to get Ben Chiarot.
Ben Chiarot.
Dude, like, I bet they're going to get Chiarot, man.
Fuck.
Like, I would be surprised if they don't.
I think Lindholm's hurt, man.
Because wasn't he one of the guys who was kind of like out for more maintenance day during the whole COVID thing or something? I don't remember.
Yeah, he had a hard time.
But something's nagging with him, it feels like.
He seemed a little bit off. He's still pitching in, but he has seemed off since
then. Like, you can tell with the Flames because a lot of they have to be hard on the forecheck. He hasn't been as effective, and I don't know. He's been good, but he hasn't looked himself. And what do you think happened tonight? It kind of looked like he jammed his arm or something, or his neck.
Well, it looked like it was his shoulder. But yeah, it was kind of an awkward. It could have been a little burner, but he didn't come back in the third, I don't think.
What's your take on this whole Jacob Markstrom starting tonight thing?
All right. My question to you is Darryl overthinking the goaltending thing? Because whenever he's made an obscure decision, it's like, yeah. Okay, well, why is he going to him again? He's like 0 for what, 5 now on the season? Any obscure decision that he's been 0 for?
Well, and every time Markstrom plays back-to-back, he's been like, yeah, probably shouldn't have done that. So apparently Francis asked Sutter about this and about the decision to start Markstrom, and Sutter said he hasn't had much work. We didn't play for a month. We get 4 days off in a few days. The other guy hasn't won for a month. Pretty easy. Trying to win hockey games wasn't a hard decision. So I don't know. Maybe they're just trying to get him reps in before the All-Star break because they've had a lot of time off. Don't know. I don't really agree with the reasoning that, like, oh, Vladar hasn't won in a month, because, okay, well, then he still is going to not have won in a month when you have to go to him. So why not go to him earlier? I don't know.
I've seen enough good play from Vladar all season that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I didn't see any reason for him not to play tonight. And I mean, you could tell Markstrom wasn't very good tonight at all.
Like, regardless, even if he's not, doesn't get much action, he's still standing there for 60 minutes. Like, you'd almost rather be active. It's probably tiring to standing there watching fucking your team dominate 6-0. Because you're gonna stand the whole fucking time.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, his goaltending choices have so far, other than the one time.
Yeah, that's right. The one time he did back to back Vladar, and that worked out.
That worked out. That was the only time it worked.
I guess he's not over, but it's got a pretty low percentage. Anyways, good goal from Backlund tonight to tie it up early. I thought that maybe they're gonna make a game out of it.
And well, they kind of did, but they just couldn't score, and their power play sucked.
Well, what was it? It was like in the first period, Chucky was blown it wide. Like, he was in tight, dude, four times.
Yeah, he gets that one chance on the power play where it comes to him, and he fucking puts it in, like, row 10.
Fuck.
What is he doing? Is he trying to impress Keith a little too much?
He's trying to impress the hometown.
Jeez Louise.
Fans, huh? You had the deserve to win a meter. This is interesting. 60%. You replay that 60% of the time. The Flames deserved a better outcome.
Well, the Flames outchanced them high danger 10-4 at 5-on-5, right? Like, 5-on-5. They were fine 5-on-5 tonight. But some bad coverage by, like, geez, that bottom six, dude. Like, the first goal, I don't know, Monahan's out to lunch. Gabranson's out of position. That's maybe Markstrom probably should have stopped that, but that's a good shot. I mean, second goal, again, Monahan, what are you doing? Anderson is way too slow on that play. Dude, Gabranson got work tonight. Like, holy shit. So, I don't know. Some of the more veteran guys And I mean, that bottom six got eaten alive tonight.
Dude, the fourth line was getting crushed.
Like, just wrecked. And I mean, that's kind of, it's a bummer because the second line, the back line is finally starting to come to play. They were good tonight. They get a goal, and but the bottom six just sunk you. Like, Monahan had a bad game after having like two or three strong games. Lucic was terrible.
Dubé, oh, man, like, that one shift.
Jeez. I know.
Turnover, like, and the penalty.
Everybody's ripping on Rosicka, but like, the fuck, yeah, Lucic turnover penalty shift was brutal.
And then the back to sucking power play goes over three.
Again, it just always comes back to this power play. Like,
well, it didn't even look good, man, at
it's
all.
Just like, it's losing you games because some, like, you're overcoming your deficiencies in your forward ranks somehow. Like, even though your bottom line got eaten alive, you're still outchancing the Blues 5-on-5 by a pretty significant degree tonight, and your power play just sucked.
Really sucked, dude. You sent me this. Mike Gould put this up. This is pathetic, dude. When this is a leading and trailing statistic. When the Calgary Flames are trailing after two periods, they are 0-8. They haven't even forced overtime.
I think it's 0-9 after tonight, probably.
Probably after tonight, yeah.
They're the only team in the league who hasn't been able to win a game after trailing after two. And I mean, that's a little inflated because, I mean,
they have won. They've forced overtime once, but they have never won.
Yeah, they haven't won. So they haven't trailed as much, right? So the sample size is a little bit skewed there. Like, you look at the other teams, like, I think, is it Anaheim that's up there? They've trailed a ton and been able to win at least once. Maybe it's Montreal. But still, like, that's a huge problem. And I mean, that to me gives me PTSD, Daryl Sutter PTSD, because they can't score. That's a problem. But it also, their system isn't particularly conducive to coming back in the later stages of games. No. So once they get behind, they're kind of fucked.
Right. Yeah, because the other team can just tighten it up. And
right? It's not like back with Bill Peters. It's like, oh, yeah, we're down by four in the third. Like, fucking green light, go. Let's.
Like, oh, we're down by three, yeah, going in the third. We're probably going to win this.
This is going to be fun.
The number two, because we have a 0% winning, a zero winning percentage,
yeah,
when trailing by two. Montreal is second worst in the league with 0.37. They've had 23.
Whoa, boy.
When trailing, holy fuck.
So, I mean, the good news is we're not trailing that often. The bad news is if we're trailing, we are not winning.
Well, this is starting to become the thing, is like halfway through the game, if you're winning,
yeah,
you're probably going to win. If you're losing, you're probably going to lose. If you're tied, could be a toss-up.
Which is it's going to be a problem for this team because, like, okay, I don't mean to go all old-timer on you, but, like, the game I remember is evident the most of this is Game 7 in 2006 against the Anaheim Ducks, where they lost 3-0. Flames were one of the best teams in the league that year. They won the division. They played a very similar style to the Flames are playing now, relied heavily on their star players, great goaltending, incredible defense. Seriously, one of the best 5-on-5 teams in the league. Game 7 comes around. They got down, like, 2-0, and they couldn't fucking score. It didn't matter that their system was great. It didn't matter that they were grinding the Ducks out. They couldn't get a goddamn goal when they were behind, and they were eliminated. So that's where these things get like, okay, this needs to be straightened out because, yeah, I think similar with the Oilers game, right? It's like everyone was like, oh, yeah, well, you played well. You know, you won the deserved winning meter. You outchanced them. You played well 5-on-5. It doesn't mean shit in a Game 7 playoff game when you lose and you're done.
Yeah, Brad's got a, like, who's on Philly? Well, I guess Drew is on Philly. Apparently, he might be available.
Fuck, dude. Brad would never be able to make that happen.
No. How much does he make, though?
A lot.
Maybe. But you got it. You know how you always see these, like, Jeff Carter at the end of his career?
Yeah, exactly.
He needs to do one or two of those. Or who was it? It was, remember Nyquist? He was having, like, a you know, 20 plus goal season. Somebody scooped him up for the stretch. I think I can't remember who it was, but he's going to have to add one or two pieces and don't get another fucking D man. Oh man, I don't know how he's going to do
this.
Dude,
I'll lose my mind.
Why doesn't he just get Joe Pavelski?
Just get Pavelski.
Solve all your problems in one.
Every problem is solved. You want your little playoff experience? You got it. Goal score. Like, Joel Pavelski is probably the best player on this team if you put him in. Like, man.
Problem is, I think he's top 10 scoring right now.
Yeah.
So, good luck at him.
No chance. But I mean,
we're in on it till the end, though, guys.
That's what I'm saying is, like, I'm glad they're a good team on a nightly basis. And, you know, like, just my worry is having seen a Sutter system and the way it did in like 2006. I know that's a long time ago, but I think it's relevant. It's not going to matter in games. If you're playing a first round series against the Oilers or a second round series against whoever, and you lose that game seven because you can't score a fucking goal and you're down, then it's not going to matter.
Yeah. You gotta go look at these teams here. Like Montreal, you can't scoop someone out of there. It's gonna help you score goals.
Tyler Toffoli, like, come on, give me a break. Like that has got to be the most slam dunk of all trades that needs to happen in the entire world, dude.
Yeah, you played with Daryl.
Like that should have been done 2 weeks ago.
In the West here, look at Chicago, man. Like. Can we get Taves out of there?
Could you just get anybody?
Third line center?
No, apparently Taves and Kane and was it Jones are like the only untouchables in Chicago. Not DeBrincat, apparently. Apparently DeBrincat is for sale in Chicago. Get DeBrincat.
Dude.
Can you imagine? They'd never get him because he's too shrimpy. But can you imagine? Like,
oh my God.
Like, can you imagine? Like, I don't know where you put him, but I can just see Johnny beating to break it on the power play all day.
All day, every day. What about anybody else from Philly?
I don't know. Philly sucks. Konechny, he's too young and on a big deal. The thing is that I said this last time. Is like, this is the perfect chance to get. I know Brad hates rentals. I don't know why he hates rentals. He's never acquired a rental and has anything to base hating it off of.
He just blows the money in free agency anyways.
Just gets he hates rentals unless they're shitty defensemen who we give up third round picks for. But this is the best. This is getting a rental is the only option. You can't take money on for next year. Yeah, I don't think there's really anybody on Philly who meets the criteria. Like Atkinson signed forever and probably not good enough. I don't know, Van Riemsdyk. I don't know. I just get somebody, dude. Get to Foley. Call it a like. Come on.
What about Arizona?
How about Eberle?
Yeah, that was the name going around today.
How about Jordan Eberle? Like, come on, that'd be sweet.
How about fucking McCann, dude?
Jared McCann. How about anybody? It's just like that. But
Schwartz. Like, anybody?
I'm watching the end of the Florida game tonight, and Sam Bennett has two goals, and I know one's an empty net, but he's got 20 goals on the year, right? And we're still got fucking Monahan and Brett Ritchie. And I know Monahan's been better, but you still got Brett Ritchie and like all these guys just skating around while a 20 goal scorer just out there that we used to have.
Imagine it. You could re-sign him for cheap, eh?
Oh, yeah.
If you hung on to him and said, look, Sam, Daryl's here now. We know you asked for a trade earlier, but let's try and make this right. Let's sign you know, another 1 year deal. He probably would have turned it around, you think? No, they would have just played him in the fucking fourth line all year.
Well, I mean, fuck, I'd rather have him playing on the fourth line than Richardson and Lewis and Richie. Even Sam Bennett at, like, not 20 goals Sam Bennett. Even at Sam Bennett, it's shitty flame Sam Bennett is better than what's going on there now. I don't know.
No one from the Oats, though?
I'm looking. Probably not. Who want Louis Erickson?
Oh my God, dude.
Galchenyuk?
Did you see the latest on the Coyotes?
Yeah.
Oh, they're gonna play
the 5,000 seat rink. That's actually that's terrible for business, but I mean that'd be sweet to go to a game in.
They're probably not gonna be able to fill that thing out, but
Oh, no chance.
Like, why doesn't Bettman just let that fucking go?
He will never let it go. He'll die on that hill, dude. Dude, the guy they should get, but he signed beyond JT Miller would be amazing.
Oh, fuck, man. He'd be awesome.
Just somebody, you know?
Just don't even say it. It's just depressing me, dude. Don't even say any names. I don't want to hear talk about that anymore. Let's go to the home stretch. This is, hey, there's signs of life that they might actually start playing well at home.
Well, okay, here's the thing. I know we kind of were like, they're up and down, they're up and down. Today was their last game in the Eastern time zone.
Huge.
Huge. And they play like way over half of the remaining games at home.
They play 11 games in February, 8 of which are at home. And they, oh man, they play a lot of games in March.
Yeah, it's going to be nuts.
But yeah, they got a, oh my man, they only play 4 away games in March. And they have about 14 games. They're pretty much, and then April's kind of 50-50, but for the next 2 months, they're going to be at home. So let's get some home cooking here, eh, bud?
Well, we said it off the top of this. Winning percentage, they're still second in the division. That only, you know, works if you win those games. So there's really no excuse to, like, when's the last time they had a good stretch of games, a good 10-game stretch?
Yeah, since the start of the season. That's what they need. They need to put together a string of wins and a good stretch, like you said. Yeah,
you're still 4-6 in your last 10. I mean, you had gone on a kind of a piss poor stretch there, like 2-7-1. You got to put together like a solid 10, 12 games here.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both as twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.